in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, Ian, we bring them...
Shops Up Front.
The Liverpool Map.
A Philosophy of Fidgets.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. The news this week, Ian, is what is in the news this week. I hear that shops are going somewhere and they're doing something. There are some wonderful shops out there. Wonderful project Liverpool City Council have put together. What's it all about?
Liverpool are calling it Shops Up Front. Maybe other places have called it something else. I think it's a government initiative, isn't it? This providing some money to encourage people to hold artistic events in all these empty shops around and enliven the streets a bit.
It is a government initiative. Art in Empty Spaces, I believe it's called.
That's the one.
All the money's been funneled through the Arts Council for them to decide on which projects will receive money and which projects won't. And Liverpool put in a bid and were successful.
So it's been, they put details on liverpool.gov.uk, and I spotted it on the Open Culture website actually. There as well. So I've put the details on the blog, and they've already found a few empty shops, including the Microzine in Bold Street.
Yeah, nice place.
Big place in Derby Square. There's a few there already, really interesting buildings. And so there's various packs of documents there on the website you can read. And I know a few artists have already expressed an interest. The only problem is it's not easy. You can't just say, right, I want that shop, I'll go in next week and put a load of art up. You have to propose a project, and they will, and including your budget and everything, because they are providing anything between £500 and £5,000 toward the cost of it. So you have to propose and budget, and they will then select which ones they think are most appropriate, whatever. And then you have to consider things like insurance,
public liability insurance, fire safety.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big long line of everything. If you're open somewhere to the public, it's got to be fire. It's got to be safe.
Yeah.
And it's
risk assessment.
Yeah. And there is quite an extensive pack which mentions all of these. Yeah. I'd look through.
Yeah. It says something like we hand over the keys and then you are entirely responsible. If you're really determined and keen to show your work, then it's not too much. And obviously they will help you with all the nitty-gritty, how to do these things. So a good experience as well.
Yeah, they'll negotiate with the landlord for you to help you secure. And that's sometimes the hardest part, is the actual negotiating with the landlord. The other bits and pieces, normally if you're after public liability insurance, normally some arts organisations already have that kind of level of public liability insurance, up to 5 million.
Yeah, most artists do have public liability insurance. Yeah. But, I was speaking to one today and she didn't actually know how much she was insured
She
was insured, so you need to check the limit. It goes up, it must be at least 5 million quid. Yeah,
it's quite a good scheme.
And of course, they're not council properties, they are
owned
private properties, so there's all that to take into consideration. And
you might need to pay rent, in other words.
In the budget. But you mustn't sell things. Although you can display stuff, you can't actually sell your art there, because then you're liable for full business rates and things.
Of course.
And also you're in competition with other shops in the area, etc. But you can sort of leave the shop and take commissions and things like
leave
that.
Leave the shop, go around the corner.
Yeah.
And, there you go. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Like that.
Something like that, yeah. Obviously expert.
Obviously. If you're thinking about applying to Shops Up Front, and if you have any stories that you want to tell us about applying and how you're getting on, then do feel free to email us or email me, because Ian doesn't read his emails. It's defnetmedia@gmail.com. I've gone for the easy option of Gmail. So let us know how you're getting on, because we're thinking of applying and securing a space as well, which is Rapid Hardware for this.
Yes, Rapid's on the list. Yeah,
yeah, Rapid. Yeah, it's big, and I don't think the landlord thinks it's actually suitable. But we'll see. It'll all come out in a wash. So yeah, but we're thinking about hiring it for our How Why DIY event, which we're going to have a look at, and
that should be appropriate for Rapid DIY.
Yeah, of course. That's where do you think it got its title from?
I see.
Why do you think I chose Rapid?
Okay.
But we're not sure if Rapid's. Right. Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to reconsider. Anyway,
well, maybe why on the scheme if that's not suitable? I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of money just to get fire safety in a building like that.
Right.
Anyway. Anyway, further in the news, what else is in the news, Ian?
Well, that's it actually for this week. Can't think of much else.
Well,
we've been to a few things. We'll talk about that later.
Then let's call that the news this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week that was last week. Ian, sorry, I can't help it. Tell us what's been going on. Stop twittering. Tell us what's been going on this week. Where have you been to that's nice? Where have you been to that wasn't so nice? And yeah, what you been up to?
Oh, everywhere's nice. Where did we go? We went to X Space, the new show there, and it's Karen Henley and Jasmine Sinclair who run Headspace. And they're the people who always curate the show's Egg Space.
Yeah.
Egg Cafe. But this time, it's just the two of them doing their own show. And it's good. They both do good stuff. And it's actually a change, because they're always big group shows there.
Yeah.
And group shows are great, but, you know, just sometimes just so many different images, different types of images, eclectic, if you like. It's just nice to have something different.
it's just
the two artists, and they quite sort of contrast but complement each other. Jasmine's is mostly abstract, and Karen's is figurative, and do photography as well. But something different. Good stuff.
I like the way that you've said it. It's a duo exhibition by Karen Henley and Jasmine Sinclair, curated by Headspace.
Right.
And you said, hold on a minute, they're the curators at Headspace, therefore they've curated their own work.
Well, you have to, don't you?
I suppose
they could have got somebody else to curate. Just to be objective, maybe they should have got somebody else to curate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they run the show.
It is their show. Now, also this week, I see you've been to this. You were talking about this last week. The map exhibition. What's this map exhibition about?
Ah, yes, this is the Liverpool map, which is something they've been working on for a while. The Daily Post asked people to send in their ideas of what they wanted on this Liverpool map. This was back in 2008, I think, or was it 2007? Do with 800 years. Somewhere around then, anyway, they started the process. And now they've got the artists, Inge Paniels and Jeffrey Sarmiento, actually creating this map. But we can't see it yet. It's going to be in the new Museum of Liverpool, which opens spring 2011.
So it'll be in there.
But they've got images of pretty much what it's going to look like, and there's details of the whole process, which I've just tried to explain very badly.
I noticed.
And bits of they've used this process of different, like fusing different. It's all created in glass.
Yeah.
With the map, the area on it, and so they've fused different layers, so you can see some bits on the front of the glass, and then you can see through to the next layer, and so. So there's five different. I think it's five layers. So you can see that anyway. And this is in the atrium of the Daily Post and Echo building in Old Hall Street.
Oh, right. So you get to see it before it's actually in the brand new build?
But no, not the artwork. Only the sort of images, diagrams, explanations and bits of sort of samples of the glass are in this exhibition. You can't see the actual finished product. It's not finished.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm any clearer, but I suppose if I went down to the Daily Post and Echo building, I might actually be able to find out what it is that you're talking about.
It's just there until the 26th of February. Just a small exhibition, just about the actual art, not...
Okay, but it's showing, showing the process and how it's all coming together.
There's a slideshow on a TV screen there with there was a poem that Roger McGough started, and then was it 800 lines or something like that about Liverpool.
Brilliant, okay. Well, that's something to look forward to, especially when the... especially when the museum opens in the spring. You tell us about Clifford Sayer's exhibition.
Yes, Clifford Sayers, Literalism.
Literalism, yeah.
At the Gallery, Liverpool, in Stanhope Street.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, we missed the viewing, remember, because I was bad
with
the cold.
Yeah.
But we got there last week, and it's a really good exhibition, excellent. Yeah, there's nearly 100 pieces there, which is nearly all of them he's done in the last few months while he's been sort of in residence at the place. He's there every day painting. And it's good, lots of figurative work. He's got his own style. It's really interesting. And I spoke to him, did an interview, which you can hear on Defnet when you've edited.
Yes.
Listen to that on Defnet Media. And I started off by asking him what is literalism. So he explained that. it's literally art. Because I think what he's saying is that you don't need to worry about, you know, what does this painting mean? You know, what's the concept behind it? All that art bollocks
stuff. Oh, it speaks to me of life and death and the parallels of... Yeah,
that's right, yes. So it's not that. It's just literally art. And obviously you can bring your own ideas to it and say, what is that? Because it is... The paintings are quite humorous sometimes and interesting. There's things like the son, he's doing the whole series about the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve and the dog egg. And of course, there's no such thing as a dog egg, but he paints pictures of this with a dog egg and even a hatching dog egg. So you can think about it. Obviously, it's not by literal, it doesn't mean it's boring. It's he's not trying to be particularly conceptual or anything. Great show. Yeah, and I know we've spoken to lots of people who've been to it and they all said it's fantastic. So have to see that before it ends fairly soon. I think it's about the end of February.
Also talking about fantastic, I'm going to do this one. Plantastic, hey. Plantastic at the World Museum. Did you manage to? I didn't manage to go down, but you managed to go down. I've heard that it's great fun for all the family.
That's right, yes. Especially the kids. Especially noisy kids.
Noisy kids.
But we are very lucky we got...
So it's a prerequisite. You get to the door if you haven't got kids. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, you'll have to take these two noisy ones with you.
Yeah.
In you go now. Yeah. They're going, oh...
Yeah, because adults might be a bit too restrained. You know, we've got your... There's all things to...
poke and
bash. And possibly break if you...
If you tried hard enough.
We didn't get that far. But we went to press view and had the place to ourselves. So, which is good in one way, but it's great. Obviously great to see museums packed with kids enjoying themselves.
So none of the journos were poking things or interacting with things. They were just going...
Well, we did, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you would.
Yeah.
A child at heart.
Yeah. So it's really well constructed because... It was built in Holland, actually, and they came over and assembled it over a couple of weeks here in the World Museum, it is. In the area where the beat goes on was, that is now been handed over to the Plantastic thing. And there are lots of things you can interact with. There's a thing like, it's to do with plants and how important they are, etc. So you can turn things around, you can turn sunflowers around and they'll follow the light source. You'll see them turn around and there's lots of screens. There's an underground section, so you can scrabble down on your knees and go into this tunnel and you can press a button and you can smell what it's like, the earthy smell that you get underground. Just press another button, you can see a mole or a little family of rabbit in their little hole in the ground there.
Because kids are just going to want to be crawling into dark spaces, aren't they, doing that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, some.
Yeah. What else is there? There's...
lots of great fun.
Yeah. There's phosphorescence. No.
Illuminescent?
Maybe. No.
Fluorescent?
Photosynthesis. That's the one, yes.
Okay.
If you turn the right dials and press the right buttons, you get the photosynthesis to work and it all bubbles away and things happen. If you don't answer the questions right and turn the right dials, it doesn't happen. There's lots of quizzes and it's a really nice video area.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a chill out area. You go underneath these giant petals and sit on the seats and
it's really great.
It's like you're underneath the trees
and
watching the birds and flowers grow. That's really nice.
That might go tomorrow.
Yeah. And there's another thing where you can press different buttons and smell different flowers and you've got to guess which flower is which. I got them all right. I got 4 out of 4.
That's not too bad. Yeah. What were the answers?
I used to do quite a bit of gardening.
Did you? No, right.
Yeah. I don't now, but used to. So I did actually recognise things like buddleia and sweet pea. Oh, yes. Great fun. And matching up different insects to, you know, which plants they will go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, great fun. And so it's here until later on in the year, and then it goes on tour. So it's been built to last.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Plantastic at the World Museum. Sounds really great fun. I might head down there myself. I might pick up a couple of small screaming children at the door.
They were very keen to get it finished before half term started.
Yeah, I bet they were, yeah. Was it now also this weekend? It's been the weekend of Wrong Love. Wrong Love at the A Foundation. That was on Saturday night, going on into Sunday morning. So what do you know about that? What do you think?
Yeah, we went. It was so.
Was it heaving?
Yeah, it was. We went after 10 o'clock. It ran from 9, didn't it, till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
We went about 10 o'clock, and it was very busy then. And people, they'd sold out about 500 tickets, I think, and it was all sold. And when we went, people were trying to get in, and they couldn't because it was sold out. So yeah, it's well done to the organisers. People called Coming to Land.
Uh-huh.
Organised it, and it shows you can put on a good warehouse happening.
Arty happening as well. Yeah.
And sell out to 500 people. Great.
There was lots of strange things going on in there as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You'd left before I arrived.
We left before midnight, yeah. Well, around midnight, yeah.
And I ended up in the house at the end. I can't remember what kind of a house it used to be. It's always the house.
Oh, yeah, and you go upstairs.
Yeah. I didn't go upstairs because there was a big pile of blokes gone up just before me, and I was like, no, I'm not following them up. But all the tights hanging up there, it was like, oh.
Yeah, that was done by Jane Lawless. She created this installation with about 86 pairs of tights. That was good then. But yeah, up you had to queue to get upstairs because it's only a small space of a queue for a while. And there's a load of porn up there.
Was
it? Should have gone, yeah. that was a problem, a sort of problem. It was about the theme of wrong love, love, but the sort of sad, seedy side of it. So there was some porn stuff and some dicks and stuff like that. Yeah. Which
are you allowed to say, hold on a minute? You're allowed to say dicks on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So maybe a bit juvenile. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old.
We're none of us getting any younger, are you? Yeah. None of us getting any younger.
Yeah, maybe just predictable, I suppose.
Did you say pre-dick?
Oh, very good. Yeah, but some of it was quite clever. There was a huge tent made out of cardboard.
I saw that. It was starting to fall apart by the time I got there.
Right, yeah. Well, it was a bit of a mess, but deliberately so, I think. Seemed to be a homage to cowboys and Indians or something.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, another very well-constructed confessional box.
I did. I posted a confession.
Well, it was created by Unifor and Static, wasn't it? So we queued to get into that and went in and then didn't know what to do. So
Did you have no sins? You didn't just say, I've just been looking at a whole pile of porn.
Maybe we should have done, yeah. We just didn't know, so we just walked out again.
I had a quick chat with one of the lads who had put it together, and he was there saying, yeah, he said they got some really juicy confessions. And I was there thinking, well, let's if you're going to get juicy confessions, let's audio record them or video them. Let's denounce these people. But so Wrong Love.
And massive queue for the toilets as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw some good live performance as well, and plenty of booze was flowing. So well done.
It was a good night. It was a good night. Well done to everyone involved down there at Wrong Love. I'm still recovering. And that is Roundup of the Week. This week on the Art in Liverpool podcast. This week, what's coming up, Ian?
There's a couple of talks.
We like talking, don't we?
On Wednesday, you can spend all Wednesday afternoon in talks. You can go to The Walker and listen to Ruth Ball talk about her enamel works, which are in the Craft and Design Gallery in The Walker. A lot of people miss that. It's on the ground floor by the cafe, to the right of the cafe.
I've never seen it.
No, yeah. So the main entrance to The Walker, you've got the kids thing on the left, and you've got the big sculpture gallery on the right.
Yeah.
All the Grecian gods or stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But further up, you see, on the right, there's the Crafts and Design Gallery, which is interesting.
I thought that was the cloakroom or somewhere like that.
you might think. No, that's the left.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, opposite the cloakroom. Yeah. Side. Yeah, it's interesting stuff in there. There's like designers like Vivienne Westwood and things like across the ages. And right at the entrance there's these enamels by Ruth Ball, who's a really good local designer enameler. So the work's been there for a while, and they continue for a while, and it's called Glass Metal Fire, and she's going to talk about how she does the stuff. So that should be interesting. And then one till two.
That's one till two on Wednesday the 17th. Now, I was going to say, in Amelie, I've done that at school. It's really interesting.
Oh, no, really I've never
have you not?
Done that.
No, we did all sorts of really good things at school.
I went so long ago, we did woodwork.
Oh, we used to do woodwork, but we used to have to dodge the headmaster, the woodwork teacher. He used to throw pieces of wood, mostly. On one occasion, he did throw a chisel.
Gosh. It does sound like a typical woodwork teacher. Yeah,
yeah, but no, metalwork. No, we used to do great stuff in metalwork. Yes, we did enamelling and fire them. We used to do casting as well. Not fishing kind of casting, but like proper. I can't remember what we cast, but we did cast. Anyway, we were talking about talks.
Yep, and then later on the same day from 4 till 6 at the Liverpool John Moores University Academy, Art and Design Academy. Is the latest in the Liverpool Biennial Touched Talks, because the theme this year for the Biennial is touch.
Have you been touched by art, Ian?
I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yes and no.
Okay, at
we
times.
We won't have that debate again this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you were in the wrong, love. Yeah. Yeah, and you were touched by art. At least that's what somebody said.
But running up to the biennial, they're having a series of talks. They're actually inviting some of the people who've given the talks, the artists who are actually going to feature work in the biennial. So they've been talking about their plans for what they're going to do. This one, on Wednesday, from 4 till 6, is Professor Stephen Connor, and it's called A Philosophy of Fidgets. So he examines reasons behind why we fidget.
Is that a collective noun?
Yeah, well, that's what's running, yeah, yeah. Maybe it is, yeah. A group of fidgets is called a philosophy, maybe. what he says is, fidgeting has a difficult reputation. I'm actually fidgeting while I read this. It suggests a kind of restlessness, a vague, sourceless unease. I think we should be willing to see more in fidgeting than just this futile, fitful fevering. Phew. I will think about a number of fidgetable objects, including paper clips and elastic bands, to suggest that fidgeting is a process of searching for an ideal thinking thing. Yeah, sounds right. Which conjoins tactility and reflection.
Well, I quite like it.
Yeah.
Well, it's because, you know, you're sitting there, you know, if you're sitting there in a meeting, well, you know, I've had to sit in some particularly not very exciting meetings. And you're there with your pencil, and it's kind of like, oh, really? You know, you're fidgeting with your pencil, you're doodling, that kind of thing. It's kind of, fidgeting helps you lose weight, I find. I always used to bounce my knee up and down, which I'm doing at the moment. That really helps you lose weight because you're burning loads of calories doing it. But fidgeting with an object of some sort. But also, I really, you know that thing where people are writing and that they can just like flick the pen over the thumb?
Oh, I can't do that.
Have you seen that? Oh, so I mentioned that now, and Mina has shouted up and gone. There you go. Oh,
she's normally expert at that, but just.
Oh, yeah, that's the kind of fidgeting. Anyway.
You can't see Minako do that.
No, you can't. She can do it. There you go. That is really cool. I really want to be able to do that, but I so can't.
Whereas I prefer to go into my sort of zen mode, just sit there, sort of hands still and as if I'm meditating.
You mean you fall asleep?
Yeah, with my eyes open.
Yeah, that's a really cool trick if you can do it. Also, especially if you can respond like that, going, yes, well, I think that's a really mighty fine idea.
So it sounds like a very interesting talk.
It does. We're talking about it now.
Yeah, yeah. They do want you to book tickets, just so they know how many people are going to arrive, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm sure it won't exceed capacity. They've got a big room there in the new academy for these talks. Go to the Biennial website and you'll see it there, and they'd like you to book. And then also there's more talks coming up, some at the Academy and some at Blue Coat. I think they sort of alternate. And you can see the whole list of upcoming talks and book for those as well.
Also, this isn't on Ian's list, but if you're up for... I'll tell you about it later. But let's carry on with this week.
Okay, on Thursday, that's just the one viewing we've got on our list so far anyway, at the Arena Place, the Arena Studios gallery in the elevator building there on Parliament Street, from 6 till 8, this is called A Solitary Cosmopolitan. Oh. making it difficult for me to talk this week.
I think that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, they do deliberately.
Yeah.
Yeah. A solitary cosmopolitan. This is Justin Eagle, who graduated from Liverpool John Moores in 2000, but is now based in London. So he's coming up to do this new sculptural and photographic work for the exhibition. That's as much as I know. Yeah, sounds good. It's only a small space at Arena, so I'm sure he'll pack in as much as he can into the small space.
Brilliant. Now that's this Thursday from 6 till 8. And then later in the week, on Saturday the 20th, we have a viewing of paintings by Stan Cropper. Oh, now this is at this is from 5 till 8 at the Lark Lane Atelier.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, Lark Lane good.
Atelier. Paintings by Stan Cropper. That's all I know, actually. The wilderness of the Pennines explored in watercolours. So there you go. And then the exhibition's normally run for a couple of months, but the viewing is from 5 o'clock on Saturday the 20th until 8 o'clock.
Now, also coming up is another talk stroke performance. Migration Songs 1. This is also coming up on Saturday the 20th from 6:30 till 9 at the Blue Coat. What's this all about then, Ian?
This is the Blue Coat, so it's linking in with the Liverpool Black Atlantic thing, yeah. And the exhibition at Blue Coat at the moment by Sonia Boyce?
Yeah.
Sorry, slipped from my mind there. And it's Kwame Dawes and Ray Costello present a combined lecture performance on the Black Atlantic, exploring how literature, reggae and popular culture have dealt with narratives of the slave trade and the Middle Passage. And the guy Kwame is a Ford Prize for Poetry recipient. He was born in Ghana and spent his early adult life in Jamaica.
Brilliant.
And Ray Costello has written extensively on the Black experience, including books which chart the hidden histories, creative talents and pioneering contributions of Merseyside's African, Caribbean and mixed race communities. So Ray Costello sounds like he's local then, if he's been writing about Merseyside.
Do you know what, I think I might know him.
I don't think I know him, but yeah.
I think I might know him from yonks ago.
That sounds really interesting, doesn't it? Performance, lecture, tickets £3 or £2 from the Blue Coat.
Excellent.
So it's 6:30 till 9 this Saturday 20th.
I'm going away, so I won't be able to see it. But that does sound really good. Okay, and that is this week. Further ahead, Ian, in the wonderful visual art scene that is second to none, well, second only after maybe London, in the whole of England. Got a fantastic visual art scene here. I just thought I'd throw that in there just before we go into Metal at Edge Hill Station. This is what is coming up further ahead. Tell us about this.
Yes, it's only the week after this, actually. It's at Metal, Edge Hill Station, Leo Asimota, and it's called The Handmaiden. And again, this is part of the Liverpool Black Atlantic series of exhibitions, etc. We met him a while ago. He's been in residence at Metal for a while, working on this project. He's been scouring the area for bits and pieces he can use and incorporate into it. And he'll be doing a performance as well. It's a performance, stroke, installation, exhibition. So the viewing is on Wednesday. I don't know why it's Wednesday instead of the usual Thursday, but Wednesday the 24th from 6:30 till 9, and then the exhibition runs until the 20th of March. He's incorporating fragments and found objects recovered from the renovation that they've been doing at Edge Hill Station during his residency, and with influences from the project's first phase. Oh yeah, it's lots of phases going on. We're going to go there and interview him. And
good,
he's great at talking about explain this far better than I can about. Uh-huh. It's a project that he's been working on for years, actually, not just this particular show. It's a long term thing, so he'll be able to tell us all about that when I interview him. So this is the second phase of the project, The Handmaiden, and explores connections between cultures and continents. Right.
Excellent. Okay, no, that sounds really good. I might try and head along. It is quite odd that they're having it on a Wednesday, but there's probably particular reasons for that. Yeah. But then, whatever happened to the big campaign to bring back the private views on a Friday rather than on a Thursday?
The big campaign?
Yeah, don't you remember that? We had the big campaign, didn't
I think we might have mentioned it.
We might have mentioned it. Was that not the big campaign?
Maybe it was, yeah. Yeah.
I still think you ought to be on a Friday, don't you? I think the only reason why they only do it on a Thursday is so they can hit the newspapers on a Friday.
Oh, maybe, yes. Yes. And the weekend supplements.
Yeah. If they have them on Friday night, they're not going to be able to hit the weekend supplements.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Thursday. Friday's just too close to the weekend in a way.
See, but that's why I like it. I like private views on a Friday so that I've got the weekend to recover.
Yeah, of course, yes. I don't have to...
Work.
Out to the office.
You don't have to work, do you, Ian?
I don't have to be up early to get to the office at 9 o'clock the next morning.
You're sitting in bed, you open your laptop, that's it, you're at work.
No, I have breakfast first.
Yeah, of course. Oh, dear God. I never open a laptop in bed. Right. Now, I was going to talk about something further ahead, which was, especially as we were talking about talks, is there's going to be Liverpool Ignite Week, and there's going to be a Liverpool Ignite event taking place on Thursday, the 4th of March, from 6 till 8. So if you like to listen to or watch presentations about technology, about politics, and about social, whatever that means... Then, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say socialism, no. Then if you head along to the How Why DIY Ning, you can find out some more information there, and you can find out if you how to submit an idea for a presentation. That's on you need to be quick to submit a presentation, because I think deadline is next week, or submit the idea for the presentation. You then get 5 minutes to present your whatever it is that you want to present. Yeah.
So it's like a Petra Kutcher thing.
Yeah, it's like a Petra Kutcher, but Petra Kutcher, I think, is 20 minutes.
Is it?
I don't know. Well, I think it is only 5 minutes. I think
20 slides.
Twenty slides. Yeah, I think this whole Ignite O'Reilly thing came from the Petra Kutcher.
Right.
I can't spell Petra Kutcher.
No, me neither. It's a Japanese thing, anyway.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
What does it mean, Petra Kutcher? Chatty chatty. There you go.
Chatty chatty. Oh, that's not too bad.
It sums it up. Yeah. Actually, I went on a link to that. I might have clicked on the wrong thing, but it actually came up with a sort of login thing. Is that?
Yeah, you do have to. Have you never logged into?
You have to either sign in or register. You can go any further. Is that?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's kind of like it's just to get your details, really.
Okay.
Because so that we can spam you.
Okay.
No, that's it, because we're using that for details about the Ignite O'Reilly event on the 4th of March, but then we've also got this How Why DIY event planned for sometime later in the year.
At Rapid Hardware, maybe.
At Rapid Hardware, maybe, fingers crossed, double fingers crossed. So we're getting people to sign up there, especially if they're looking to, maybe partake, do a talk, maybe, Ian, maybe, talk about blogging, etc.
I don't know anything about technology or...
Yeah, oh, come on.
I could talk about socialism, yeah. as a former active member of the Labour Party, etc.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, maybe not.
I think blogging would be much better. There could be loads of people there talking about various different bits of blogging and podcasting and video.
Did you say where it was? Where it is?
Did I say where it was? No. Yeah. Did I say when it is? No. Okay. I reveal no
you
details.
Said when it was. You said March the 4th. I remember that.
Oh, that one, I did. It's March the 4th, and it's going to be at Liverpool Art and Design Academy.
Ah,
we've managed to secure a room there. We're going to hopefully stream it live as well, because I do believe in streaming things live. That's why we record this show.
Yes. Some things you just have to edit.
Some things you do have
before you release to the public.
The only thing I tend to take out of this is just see that bit there that will have been missed. That's the dead air, and that's the bit that I take out. And I don't listen to it.
No, I don't listen to it. No,
I just I just go through it and just go cut out the dead air, and it cuts it out, and that's it, and I post.
Right.
Anyway,
there is another thing which we forgot to mention. I think I went to the VIP.
Oh yeah.
Dinner thing at the new Museum of Liverpool, which I'm sorry, folks, the public can't get in till next year, 2011 spring sometime.
Yeah.
But they've more or less finished the building work, so it's a beautiful empty shell. they dotted a few museum pieces around, like the old Ford Anglia from Halewood, the very first one off the Halewood line, and a few penguins, real penguins, or stuffed penguins, as opposed to fiberglass penguins. And
wow.
Yeah.
So we're just looking at some photos now.
Apparently we're officially VIPs now, because we got invited to pay loads of money to go in. And yeah, there's a red carpet outside.
Oh, brilliant. The fire going. Oh, a lovely spiral. Is that a spiral staircase?
Yeah, it's like the Guggenheim, is it? That
has big
sweeping spiral staircase right up the centre of the building. We're going to post loads of pictures on the site soon. They're embargoed until today because the press wants to get their pictures out first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but great place, great views from all sides. You know, either end, you've got the Albert Dock at one end. Where we were eating our meal and being entertained by Orchestral Maneuvers and the Philharmonic and Pete Price and
I thought you said entertained.
Yes, and Roger McGough, he was good.
You
just look out the window and you see the fantastic Liver building, etc. Like right there, lit up. Beautiful it was. Monaco is just showing us more and more pictures of Mike McCartney there with his camera. Lots of celebrities there and us. Lords and ladies, I didn't wear a black tie. I didn't wear any tie or suit, but they still let me in. so that was okay. And had a great time. So, yeah, Phil Redmond made a speech. And we noted this, a note of this. Phil Redmond and David Fleming, director of the NML, are committed to keeping the place free of charge. No entry fees, whatever government we get after the election and so on. While they're in charge, they're committed to free entry. So I'll hold them to that. because that does mean they have to get their funds, they might have to get more funds from elsewhere. So it's all about more and more of these art establishments are putting on their business heads and trying to get sponsorship money from the business community because they recognise the fact that public money is going to be more and more tight in the future.
And so is it going to be Liverpool McDonald's Museum?
Well, you never know, yeah.
Well, hopefully not.
No,
hopefully not.
Shouldn't be, but... Yeah, but so yeah, the whole evening, unfortunately, was a lot of it was about give us your money. There was envelopes on the table, so you could put some more money in. It was a raffle, but you had to put 30 quid in. And they took photographs of us and went in, and then sold us the photographs.
Oh.
we obviously realised it was a fundraising thing, so we prepared for that. But that's the sort of thing it's going to be. And another thing we might take part in is that you can have like little label on the there's 175 seat theatre there, so you can have a little plaque on each seat. So
how much is that?
I think it's 250 for silver, bronze, and then 500 for silver, and then 750 for gold.
Right,
so we're going for gold.
What about platinum?
No platinum, but. And also you can sponsor the outside, what are they called?
Were they little bricks or something?
The bricks, the big panels.
Yeah.
Big fancy panels, you can sponsor one of them. That's only 25 quid or 50 quid.
Not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
50 quid?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
To have your name on one of them, yeah.
Might do that. Is it big?
I don't know.
How much does it come on? I'll tell you what.
It's on the website. It's a nice website for the new museum.
Mm-hmm. I might do that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. It's the only, and then when I die, they can just rip it off and use it as a gravestone.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing's great. It's a great building, I think. I've always liked it. The model they produced ages ago didn't do its justice. But it's really bring people back to the pierhead. And I remember going to pierhead when I was a kid, obviously, for the ferries and that. And it was great then. But now it's completely different, but still great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
different way.
It is really, it is really different. I can't wait until the walkthrough is open once more, because that's the normal route, from down by the Maritime Museum and then walk down along the front to the pierhead.
Yeah, it's a shame that's still closed while they're doing the building work, but once it's open, that'll take it.
Soon. Sooner the better.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's something really to look forward to then.
Yeah.
So, from this week's Art in Liverpool podcast, I would like to say, Ian, thank you very much for sharing your views and delights of the city with us. Petra kutcha to you too, mate. and thank you for listening, and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DeafNet Media.